My name's Ben, and this is my beautiful, amazing, wonderful bride, LK Ortiz. We're definitely very humbled to be here tonight to share God's story and transformation in our lives and marriage. Two of the most opposite people you could imagine are sitting here to share God's story of transformation. But he miraculously brought us together.
And so, he brought us back way back. You saw how young we were in that picture.
Yeah,
Ben had no gray hair whatsoever. and I look exactly the same, kind of.
So, yes, we actually met at this, we'll say a little later, animation studio when I think LK was around 20 years old.
And so a couple of years ago.
Yeah. about 18 years ago. And we've been married for 11 of those years. So yeah, you want to go?
Oh yeah.
Well, there's our beautiful wedding.
Yes, and so our story, but better to say God's story, is a testament to just the amazing work in our lives and in our marriage. And he turned what seemed like such differing threads into a beautiful tapestry. And so that's, if you would have told me years and years ago that that picture would one day exist, I wouldn't even believe it. And so those are our kiddos. Bren, who's 7, and Leviticus, who is 3.
Yes, so thanks for that. So I was born to a loving, caring, sacrificial, and committed two non-believing parents, though. Our lives revolved around idols like pop culture, sports, materialism, and the kind of perfectionism that was so ingrained that any mistake haunted you for life. In the fear of making mistakes, throughout high school and college, I hid partying, drinking, underage drinking, and having sexual relationships with my girlfriend. Pride fueled my need for an impeccable image. When my image was questioned or crumbled in any way, pride, anger, and control consumed me.
Well, opposite of Ben's parents who were married and in a loving relationship, I was actually born from a one-night stand to two very young people. And so I actually carried a burden of just feeling like a mistake. And that just fueled a lifelong journey of insecurity and people-pleasing. And so, fortunately, my parents were kind of forced into a marriage. And so I got to see a marriage of obligation. And then I grew up in my grandparents' home, my dad's parents, who loved God, loved each other, laughed, played. It was just so precious to get to see that. And so my parents' tumultuous marriage contrasted very much so with the safety of my grandparents' marriage, giving me two very different pictures of what a marriage can look like. And so my grandfather actually passed away when I was 9, and my world crumbled. Keep in mind, my grandparents were in their 70s, and my grandmother just could not take care of it. At that time, we're 2 more kids, 3 little children. And so we went to my parents, and my parents' abusive marriage ended in divorce, and it just plunged my home life into deep poverty with 2 parents who neither one of them wanted the responsibility. And so amidst absent parents, I just turned to atheism and grappled with a severe anger at everyone, including God, and bitterness of how could life possibly be this way. And so even though I had academic success at school, I just paused my life to care for my 2 younger siblings from the age of 14, and eventually went on to pursue college add a job in Dallas, that in and itself is a miracle. But I was still wrestling with a lot of unresolved anger and people-pleasing tendencies.
So yeah, you guys saw the picture. That was back in 2005 when LK and I both met. So when we worked together, we clashed. We did not see eye to eye at all. I actually tried to get her dismissed from the company.
Right? He tried to get me fired. Let's just get this straight.
She likes to use that word versus dismissed, yes. Fortunately, there were some, our bosses there, one of them particularly was a believer, and they saw the value in us both, and they just urged us and compelled us to seek reconciliation through forgiveness and amends, which back then I had no idea what those words meant.
And we're forever grateful for that.
Yes. So through that time of working together for about 7-8 years, I got to watch LK's life transform right before my eyes. And that was just the greatest gift to me. I was not a believer. As she surrendered each aspect of her life to Christ, she looked like a different person. And she would passionately invite everybody in the office to church, which I thought was, at first, awesome, and I viewed positively, but my pride hindered me from considering any change at that time, reinforcing walls I had built up between God and me. Succumbing to a hedonistic lifestyle in Dallas, I moved in with my girlfriend at the time and engaged in nightlife, sports cars, and eventually an addiction to pornography and masturbation. Despite what would seem and look like external successes, dissatisfaction in my heart loomed, leading me to seek advice from LK, who was the only believer I really, really knew and trusted. I wasn't condemned by her at all. I was actually listened to and prayed for. She was wise to direct me to seek strong Christian male mentors, which I eventually did after a period of time, who just loved me and discipled me. After a season I call fiery refinement, I surrendered my life to Christ as Lord and Savior. Over time and through this fiery refinement process, my feelings deepened for LK, and over a year, a little over a year later, we were engaged and married.
Yeah. Yes, and so just so you know, these ups and downs happened over 7 years. So we met in 2005, hated each other until 2010, and then...
This is true.
I mean, they would joke in the office that we would have a meeting for a meeting because we were not going to see eye to eye on anything. I gave my life to the Lord in 2006 and would invite Ben to the porch over and over and over, but really just would pray for him and wish the best for him. And eventually parted different ways, went and worked for different companies, and I got that call, which was the most difficult call to hear from someone. And so just encouraged him to, do you know any Christian men? Watermark has a great single guys ministry. That's really where you're going to head to because I'm not going to be the best person to help you. And just really started praying for him with my community group here.
So. Yeah, so through that season, we were engaged and married and married, and about a year into our marriage, both of my parents, I'm from Oklahoma, the Oklahoma City area, had health declines, and we decided with the council of wise people around us here at Watermark, our community group, to move back to the Oklahoma City area. The stress of caring for my parents took on a toll in our marriage. Within a year, my dad passed away. Being there, it was a sweet time, though, that last year with him. For our entire 8 years in Oklahoma, we struggled to find a healthy church with healthy community, really. After years of living in Oklahoma, LK gave birth to our daughter, Bryn, which you saw on the screen. It was a glorious highlight, but I had no idea what LK was going through emotionally during that time. As soon as I became a father, I felt an overwhelming need to provide financially for our family, an expectation and an idol I chased with all my might. Right after our daughter was born, I was offered my dream job. That dream job and my decisions helped me neglect my role as a husband and father while I chased the idols of professionalism and financial success. I didn't realize it then, but my single-minded pursuit of worldly success as an MBA professional was destroying our marriage.
Yeah, and it was so hard because, we had such an enriching time here during our dating and engagement years, mm-hmm. and getting married. We got to go through Merge, if y'all haven't heard of it, and then had a foundation group of just wise older couple who poured into us. And so leaving a supportive church community in Dallas was extremely tough for me, especially with it really being my main family and support system. And so when I got pregnant, that loneliness only intensified. And so my dreams were that I was going to quit my job and be a stay-at-home mom. But that was an unspoken expectation that I had in our marriage. And so when we discussed it, Ben wanted me to both continue to work remotely at home and care for our daughter at home. And due to my people-pleasing tendencies, I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to juggle work and motherhood. But internally, I didn't even share it with him. I really grappled with shattered expectations. I felt extremely isolated. And the absence of any type of church community or family or friends up there, it was just, I never imagined that that season of life was going to be so difficult.
Yeah, through the whole season there, LK and I struggled desperately to find meaningful relationships with other believers. We would go to church on Sunday and check the box, and my relationship with the Lord was stagnant and strained as the demands of my professional life created little time for fellowship with God or pursuing my wife and my newborn baby girl. I thought though I longed for relationships with other believers, I truly was isolated.
Yes, and because of my loneliness and him seeking security and financial success, I began to also seek my security in our financial success and feeling that I needed to control something. And so I took over all of our household matters. And so if you've ever seen The Home Edit, that was my life, and just found control in color coordinating everything. And then after having our daughter, I desired to have more children, but that really clashed with infertility as well as our busy schedules. I really didn't see Ben. He worked full time and then he went to school at night. And so I was angry at God. I longed for his presence and I would pray and cry out for godly community, and I would pray out for him. And I just waited on the Lord, and I began to immerse myself in his word, which really became instrumental in breaking down the idols that I had constructed. And so despite it feeling like a desert, I learned the importance of cultivating a deep relationship with the Lord through prayer and understanding his Spirit's work within me in the midst of all of that. That's me.
Yes.
So from the outside, we appeared to be living the American dream, but I felt stuck. And after struggling with a stressful job and no biblical community for years, I had so many things that I wanted to say to Ben, but I feared his shock in response to me, saying that I longed for more in my relationship with the Lord, in our relationship with the Lord, and in our marriage. He thought everything was great. And so I was like, oh my goodness, this is going to be really hard to have this conversation. But a breaking point led to an argument, and tearfully, I insisted that we find a re-engage ministry because I knew about it from going to Watermark earlier. But I gave him 24 hours. We found a church, But when we went to it, we went to open the doors, and they were locked. And they had canceled it without letting us know, and I just burst into tears. So, it was a mess.
Yeah, and for me, she was right. I was kind of oblivious. I was, like, very confused by her tears, didn't understand what was going on. And when we got home, she told me to look for another church that was offering communication. She was very adamant about it. The closest one to our house was an hour away, but that didn't prevent us from signing up, and here we go. And I know that she missed our authentic kind of biblical community that we had and those relationships, so I saw this as her desire to make some more intimate relationships there in Oklahoma. I didn't think anything was wrong. So.
Yes. So in 2019, we started to attend Reengage, and I thought that Ben was the problem in our marriage. So I entered our first night at Reengage hoping that God would do something amazing in him over the next 16 weeks. I had read a book called When Sinners Say I Do, yet I failed to completely see my unmet expectations, my hidden anger, people-pleasing, and how control was affecting our marriage and my connection with Ben, and more importantly, my relationship with the Lord. And so the Lord, he just worked through the Reengage ministry and really helped me learn that Ben was not the problem in our marriage and that I needed to draw a circle around myself. And that concept, it took a few weeks, I'm not going to lie, to figure that out. So,
yeah, during the hours that we spent doing the homework, we really dug into it. Sparks flew between us as we communicated. And as she shared with me how she felt uncherished and as a low priority in our marriage. Initially, I invalidated her, insisting those were not genuine needs because I felt confident I was fulfilling my family responsibilities as a husband and provider. Over time, though, reflecting on God's truths as we worked through the homework, I realized how off track we were from God's best in our marriage. Transitioning from separate individuals, we really embraced the wisdom that 1 + 1 does indeed equal 1. God brought healing and restoration to our marriage through his word, his spirit, and his people through the Reengage ministry in Oklahoma. The most remarkable thing is that we had no idea that God was going before us to strengthen our relationship in him, with him, and oneness in our marriage. By his grace, he gave us exactly what he knew we would need to endure the storm ahead.
So, after finishing Reengage, we did not only feel a stronger love for God and one another, but we were so excited and just revitalized that we even wanted to bring it back to our home church in Oklahoma City. And so we eventually did get to form a little bit of a marriage ministry at that church before all of 2020 began. It was just to know that God could transform our marriage. We just wanted to share it with everybody that we could talk to. And we knew so many of our friends who were really even afraid to talk about the deeper issues that were going on in their marriage. So lockdown happened, as we all know. And then in June of 2020, at 7 months pregnant, I woke up and realized that I could not move from the neck down. It's a pandemic, so I was rushed to the hospital. My body was completely shut down. I had total body stiffness and muscle spasms, and I was so stiff and rigid that the doctors and nurses were afraid that they were going to break my limbs if they moved me. It then began to move into my face and my throat. And so I could not open my eyes. I seemed completely unresponsive, but I was fully aware. And so to everyone around me, they thought I was gone. But just praise to God, who I knew could hear me in the depths of my despair. And he reminded me that I was not alone, and to trust him and to just be thankful for him in that stillness.
Yeah, so we were rushed to the hospital. She woke up in that state in an ambulance, and we got there, and COVID restrictions didn't allow me to be there with her. So I appealed to the hospital over and over, and eventually they allowed me to stay with her because when she would have these episodes, she couldn't even press the call button. And, you know, 3 days of being there, we watched every doctor in this hospital with every specialty you could think of come and try to help. And but they just would leave with questions, and we would just be day after day just have unanswered questions about what was causing these or a medical diagnosis. In a moment of spiritual, emotional, and physical desperation, in LK's quiet, small hospital room, we started to lose hope for the help we entered the hospital with. It was at that moment, this lady that was just cleaning our room entered our room, and she was just singing. We couldn't quite understand, just gentle voice, like, what's going on? And she was singing the song, "He is Worthy." Just her beautiful voice was a reminder we needed of his presence with us. And, you know, we've replayed this story over and over in our head, and lately...
I would say the next thing says it instantly brought tears. Yeah. It still does to our eyes.
Yeah, and we played this over and over, and we've kind of told the story a few times, but lately, even just like last week, we were looking at it, and so, you know, we had put our hope in these diagnoses and all these specialists and these medical professionals, and we had lost where hope is truly found. And then that's the person of Christ and all he does for us, and he's there with us. But again, a key to this is who brought that hope to us wasn't all the medical professionals. It was somebody who came and cleaned our room, who had kind of the lowliest position probably in the whole hospital. So, she brought as much hope to us as with that song, a gentle reminder of just an army of God's angels.
No, you're good. Now, her faithfulness in singing his praises while she worked to serve us just reminded us that we were not alone and that God heard every prayer that we had cried out in that hospital room, even the slightest ones. And from that point on at the hospital until today, in this moment, we've never doubted that God would see us through this, and that he alone is where we can find our hope and our heart's desires daily. And so after 2 bedridden years of praying and continual testing, in April of 2022, I was diagnosed with a movement disorder that's similar to Parkinson's or MS called stiff person syndrome. You may have heard of it from Celine Dion. She's the only person, I think, in the world that anyone knows who has it. But it was always there. It was just flared by the stress of the pregnancy.
Yep. So the Lord brought about significant changes in our relationship, as you can imagine, if you thrust into that. Not only did I have to humbly learn how to do everything LK had been doing in our home for the last 6 years, and up to her standards. I also learned to care.
How to let go of that control, guys. God was working on me.
I also learned to care for my disabled wife, a newborn baby, and a 4-year-old. Looking back over these last 3 years, we see that we have grown in ways we never imagined possible. These challenges have deepened our love for God and each other. We joke about being trailblazers in geriatric parenting, as a friend of mine says, but nobody does that. The love, appreciation, respect, and short accounts we now have for one another have given us a vibrancy to our marriage that can only be explained by the Holy Spirit at work. Participating in serving and reengage continually draws us into a deeper relationship with the Lord, helping us understand that if we don't have a genuine relationship with Him, there is no way we can love, pursue, cherish, and prioritize one another. I had no idea what was coming, but in his grace, the Lord handed me a playbook before the onset of LK's, our illness. He showed me how to reprioritize my relationship with him, with LK, my children, others, and all things above work. Daily, I get to live out the blessing of his good design, realizing that the so-called American dream, realizing that the so-called American dream that I thought I'd built an idol around was a nightmare, and that there is nothing richer in my life than maintaining an abiding relationship with the Lord that empowers me to wash the feet of my wife and children every day, literally and figuratively. A verse that just has been a constant inspiration to me through this is Romans 12, 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Learn to be a living and holy, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect.
Yes, and the marriage that we're living out now, you know, it has its own challenges being in a marriage with disability, but it is wildly different than the marriage that we had, so much so that we say that we have a new marriage. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy. Every day we have to lay our expectations and live with open hands at the feet of our Lord, and cry out to him with praise and thanksgiving and strength as our roles have changed, going from, we'd say, more traditional to ones where, you know, Ben is serving us, and, you know, I just seek to encourage him and respect him and seeing how the Lord can rearrange all of our expectations.
Yeah.
I believed I was a mature Christian before the onset of my illness, but I now know that the Lord calls me to give everything to him and release the illusion of control that I thought I had. I'm not saying that it's totally gone, but have definitely learned so many things that there's just so much from him. He wanted me to surrender and continues to ask me to surrender. He wants all of me. I have praised, questioned, and cried out. Just literally have just lived a life where I've just had to ask God to help me in every single moment. And that there is one thing that I know for sure, and I don't know what you're going through right now, but I am assured that we serve a God who can handle anything and everything. He has taught me what it means to abide, to understand that, like it says in John 15:5, without him, I can do nothing. And that is from getting out of the bed in the morning, putting my feet on the floor, the miracle of picking up a spoon, all the daily tasks, accomplishments, and decisions that I had foolishly believed were mine, I now know that they are all given by him. We ask the Lord to help us honor him in our marriage now by not taking for granted the blessing of being a mirror to one another. And looking back at what we call the desert years, we didn't even see each other enough to resolve conflict. Everything felt off limits, and our marriage was not a safe place. Instead of resolving conflicts, I would withdraw and sweep things under the rug, and I now understand the importance of to feel the safety to express my concerns first to God and then to Ben. And so not speaking up in these ways and hiding that anger and bitterness was just devastating to our oneness.
Yeah, so from the outside, if you were to look at us now, you would think this must be the desert. But LK and I are in the sweetest time of our marriage. We still have conflict. We have two children under seven. It just happens. I've asked the Lord to help me create a safe place for my wife to come with me with her concerns, to listen to each other, and to keep short accounts. LK forgives me, moves forward with grace and compassion, which comes from her relationship with the Lord. We are also thankful for our mentors and community group here again, who we call if we cannot resolve something or if we need to discuss something in more depth. There are no longer any more off-limit topics with each other or others. We know being vulnerable is hard, but we want to walk through conflict knowing it will bring us closer, because we've seen that, we've walked through it, and also to see it as an opportunity to glorify God. If you are here tonight and don't know why, perhaps you feel your spouse is the problem or unaware if your situation can improve. I promise you that God can transform and does transform lives. It's just what he does. Matthew 19:26 reads, Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible.
Yes, so I'd like to share a quote by a Christian author. You may have heard of him. His name is Paul David Tripp, regarding expectations, that sums up the continuing beauty of the work in our life and marriage. And this can be true for yours too. He says, none of us gets our dream in the way that we dreamt it, because none of us is writing our own story. God in his love writes a better story than we could ever write for ourselves. I remember being where some of you are tonight, feeling that God made a mistake in drawing you and your spouse together, me and Ben. I remember crying out, Lord, you got it wrong. But I have come to know God's character, and with confidence I can say, he did not get it wrong. Isaiah 55:8-9 tells us, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So I just pray that you grow to believe that there is hope, that there is beauty, redemption, and there's a thriving future for your marriage too.
To God be the glory forever and evermore. Thank you guys for listening.